Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Ha ha ha!
music from the Blackfeet Drum Kicking Women Singers off their Kenyon Records CD, Our Way of Life. In traditional times, when tribal nations of the Great Plains of what's now called North America were ready to make a new campsite, dancers would prepare the new location with their prayer dance known as the Grass Dance. The Grass Dance was a way of showing respect to the grasslands, Mother Earth, and a way of asking permission of the land to place their lodges. When powwow dancers today perform the Grass Dance, their movements reflect the swaying of the grass and give honor to our ancestors and our cultural lifeways. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yacht Kedishi Native Center. Today's program guest is youth activist Jose L. Oliva, a Workers' Rights Center's Network Coordinator for the National Interfaith Committee for Worker Justice. Jose was born in Guatemala and was forced to flee the country when several of his family members were tortured and disappeared by Guatemala's military regime for their social justice organizing. I had the privilege to meet Mr. Oliva at the 2005 Immokalee in Centro that Yacht Kedishi Native Center was invited to participate in. Yacht Kedishi Native Center had the honor to participate in a very special gathering of youth activists from across the country who came together to share ideas and experiences in the pursuit of what I term Earth Justice. Earth Justice incorporates social, economic, cultural, and environmental concerns dealing with the growing threat of globalization. Globalization is the 21st century's form of colonialism. The gathering, which was held August 1st through the 7th, 2005, was titled Encuentro, from the Spanish term for meeting, gathering, or encounter. Hosted by the National Student Farmworker Alliance, SFA, in support of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, CIW, young activists met in an atmosphere of trust, equality, and solidarity in order to continue to build this youth movement for global justice. The Encuentro took place in one of the poorest communities in America, the town of Immokalee, Florida, located just 15 minutes from us here at Yacht Kedishi Native Center. Immokalee is one of the battlegrounds for poor people's social and economic justice. The oppression and exploitation faced by Immokalee farm workers over the years in the agricultural industry has been nothing less than modern-day slavery. The organizing and resistance work of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, such as the recent precedent-setting victory in the Yum Brands Taco Bell boycott, is a significant achievement in the struggle for worker rights to fair wages and decent working conditioners. Listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know that Yacht Kedishi Native Center has been and continues to be an ally to the Coalition of Immokalee Worker, our neighbors, since CIW's founding. Wolf Mountain Radio is proud to have provided continual coverage of CIW's struggles over the years to our worldwide listeners. Those of us who have participated in Coalition of Immokalee Worker campaigns and marches know that the fight for justice is far from over. This is why the Encuentro was so important. The Encuentro brought focus for strategies and the next phases of building alliances and movement networks for global justice and for continuing to support the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. The Immokalee Encuentro of student and youth activists and organizers who came together to share skills, knowledge, and experience was truly a committed, diverse, and talented group. I was very honored to attend. The way in which the dialogue took place was very special. Event organizers, trainers, and participants were careful to ensure equality and respect for all, being very open to issues of power dynamics, such as racism, gender, sexism, economic status, class privilege, and white supremacy. It takes great effort to listen and make agreements based on inclusion, consent, and consensus. In indigenous peoples' cultures, we follow a traditional council circle way of gathering, using the Galuskawachanabe talking stick or talking feather. In this way, all have respect for each other and listen carefully to each other without bias or judgment. This ethic encourages everyone to consider how one's words and actions will impact the well-being of all life for seven future generations. The Student Farmworker Alliance Youth Conference should be proud of how everyone worked together it is a lesson many so-called adults should emulate. I want to share a paragraph from the Essential booklet entitled, Listen and Build. Quote, we envision a space in which all voices are heard, seeing and hearing one another in our full humanity, where everyone feels comfortable to contribute and barriers between experts and audience are broken down. It's also extremely important that we confront the power hierarchies that we observe amongst and within ourselves and oppressive attitudes and behaviors we have internalized and continue to perpetuate even as activists, unquote. This week-long Immokalee and Cetro operated on a consensus-based model, trying to be non-hierarchical, making sure everyone's voice and concerns were heard, while also supporting group cohesion and participation. In the spirit of the indigenous Zapatista movement in Chiapas, the Student Farm Worker Alliance and Cientro participants believe in direct action and direct democracy, where people and communities act through their own power to control and change their own lives without representatives, that oppressions must be confronted both within and outside of our movements, and that only fundamental systemic changes will lead to real justice, liberation, and peace. The range of workshops and trainings, seriousness of the dialogue strategy sessions, and the cultural music presentations made this gathering both very special and very empowering. I want to thank everyone who participated in the Immokalee and Cetro, and truly hope that our grassroots gathering helped to contribute to create a new and better world for all life, for all of our relations, Kanan Wantakwasin. I hope the voices you hear from my interviews at the Encentro exemplify this introductory commentary. Before we hear from Jose Oliva, I want to play the song Tempestad Libertaria, a song of freedom for Guatemala. As many of our worldwide listeners know, to honoring Mother Earth, indigenous voices, in the mid-1980s, I spent time as a journalist in Guatemala and other Central American countries, reporting on the wars and numerous social injustices that were occurring in the region. As our years of Wolf Mountain Radio coverage have shown, tragically, Central America still has much violence and abuses happening. In many ways, the people of Guatemala still greatly suffer, especially where the government and industries are exploiting tribal lands for energy and natural resource development. Peace is not yet a reality for many sisters and brothers throughout Abiala, Central America. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Native Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, Kinoan Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.
I want to share a song, which is written by a Guatemalan group, is sung in Spanish, but speaks of a tempestad libertaria, and that is the storm of freedom that cannot help but sweep the land of Guatemala and those lands north and south thereof.
Colombina, donde nace el sol que alumbra nuestra historia, como el alba que clarea la luz de gloria, te levanta sobre el monte Quiché, el intenso es el plumaje de tu ayonda, como el ave pecho rojo incandescente. Desde el fondo de la historia transparente, como un rayo intenso surge vivo cachiqué. La violenta tempestad está estallando, se oye ya de todas partes clandestinas. Es un pueblo de América Latina, y hoy está gestando su liberación. Guatemala, Guatemala, hacia adelante. Es tu pueblo quien hoy lucha por tus tierras, y hoy te lanza nuestras manos. campamento, en sus alas trae un presagio de libertad. Con un ocelo de Pachuni y eco capa, con el antiguo solo la inquietante en ambos. Guerrillero San Cochinchi canterango, con el cielo escuinte de cojante de la paz. La violenta tempestad está estallando, se oye ya de poblaciones clandestinas, es un pueblo de la América Latina, que hoy está festando su liberación. Guatemala, Guatemala, hacia adelante, es tu pueblo que la lucha por tus tierras, y hoy se lanza nuestras manos guerrilleras, esta es un juego posible, escribiendo. Guatemala, Guatemala, hacia adelante, es tu pueblo que la lucha por tus tierras, y hoy se lanza nuestras manos guerrilleras, esta es un juego posible.
My name is Jose Oliva, and I come from a small town in Guatemala, which is called Xelajú. The native name Xelajú-Noj means the altar in the seven mountains. And I've been in the United States for 20 years now, since my parents were forced out of that country back in 1984 because of their activism in the native community there. And I've been, ever since I got here, I've been pretty interested in learning more about my traditions and their traditions and the traditions of the Native North American peoples. And I've also been doing a lot of work around the issues of low-wage and immigrant workers here in the United States, especially those low-wage and immigrant workers that come from places like Guatemala and Mexico. And so we started a worker center about 5 years ago in Chicago. And that worker center essentially helps workers, low-wage and immigrant workers who have problems in the workplace and don't know what to do about them. So what we do is we allow them a space. We facilitate a space for them to organize themselves around what to do. We will allow for people to learn from each other, different workers groups to come together and learn from each other different strategies and tactics that they've used to improve their working conditions in their workplaces. Most of the workers that we work with are workers from Central America, and you know, the vast majority of what we've been doing is everything from wage claims, discrimination lawsuits, to actually organizing workers into unions and into other collective bargaining units.
That's very important work. You might be interested to know that I don't like the word reservation, but because this is English we're speaking, my Native American reservation, the Wabanaki Confederacy, we were one of the first North American communities to welcome what in English is called Maya refugees. And as a result of having a brother stay in my home in 1985, I was able to spend about 7 months in what's now called Guatemala, covering the war at the time, until the U.S. ambassador physically threw me out of the country for reporting the truth. So I'm very interested to hear some of the situations from your perspective about what is happening still in Guatemala. To me, it's very sad that I think a lot of American people think that things have become very peaceful and that things are doing very well, and say the president election of Benicio Cerezo really changed from a military situation to a so-called democratic one. I have a lot of questions about that, especially if you look at, for example, gold mining that's happening in your homeland. Would you talk about some of these situations that is affecting rural traditional communities, especially multinational corporations like mining companies, logging companies, agribusiness companies that have continued to what I call invade Guatemala and other Central America countries?
Actually, that is the exact correct term that we use, as it is a continuing invasion, right? The first wave of invaders came in 1492 with Columbus, and then ever since then we've had just wave upon wave of invaders trying to colonize us. We're not a colonized people. We are a free people, but unfortunately because of global capitalism, we are often forced out of our homeland and we're forced to come to places like Immokalee and other parts of the United States to work. You know, the passage of NAFTA in 1994 created an unbearable situation for the Mexican people. We just now, last week, passed CAFTA, which is going to essentially expand NAFTA into Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico, Honduras, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, and Panama. And what CAFTA is going to do is that it's going to create a free trade zone in all of Central America, essentially driving down wages, driving down working conditions for people there, and destroying any of what was left of an environmental protection in that region. Most of the people who believe that the peace accords of 1996 created peace in Guatemala really don't understand all of the subtleties that went into the creation of the war in the first place. What happened was in 1954, the CIA overthrew a truly democratically elected government in Guatemala of Jacobo Arbenz Guzman, who was an educator. And by them overthrowing him, they created the conditions that would then become a civil war 4 years later. A lot of constitutionalist officers fled into the mountains and created what was then known as the FARC, the Frente Armado Rebelde. And they were essentially a guerrilla movement that wanted to retake Guatemala so that there could be democratic freedoms again. That war lasted for 36 years. In 1996, a peace accord was signed between the Guatemalan National Revolutionary Unity, which included the FARC, included ORPA, EGP, and PGT, four other organizations that composed this guerrilla group. And they signed a peace accord that unfortunately has not been implemented, which is one of the reasons that I say that people who don't understand the full picture often think there's peace, but it isn't peace, it isn't real peace. The peace accord said that there would be land redistribution, the peace accord said there would be a military reduction. The peace accords also gave a lot of rights to indigenous peoples that had been denied for the last 510 years. So we, as a community, still live in a state of hostility and war, although we are not necessarily resisting in the same way that we had resisted for 36 years. We're still resisting peacefully now. We're resisting by organizing against CAFTA, by organizing against a number of different hostile policies that want to take away our distinct indigenous identities. There are 22 languages that are spoken in Guatemala. Of the 22 languages, 21 of them are indigenous languages, and then you have Spanish. And those 21 languages are under attack. And the people who are speaking those languages are often marginalized and left out of the decision-making processes. So we are in a constant state of battle. We're always trying to figure out new ways to be more innovative and to not just accept what the imperialist system is putting on us, but rather how do we create the kind of real community-based democracy that we need in our homeland.
As a so-called North American Indian journalist, I try to stay informed on some of the situations in Abiyala, as my brothers and sisters often refer to what's now called Central America, the indigenous term, Kuna word. I'm wondering, do you know if the government of Guatemala still continues to have military police roadblocks and checkpoints? I remember my time there, very frightening times, being on community buses in the highlands, and local commander, maybe a captain or even a major would stop, and everyone would be forced off the bus, often shaken down for money and show different ID papers. And frankly, the fact that I was from what's now called North America
sometimes helped a lot of my friends that I was living with travel a little bit easier because the police were a little bit intimidated by having a foreigner there. But do you know if that is still a kind of common situation where it's very peligroso, very dangerous to travel?
It definitely is still dangerous for people to travel. What has replaced the roadblocks and the military presence is roadblocks and police presence. Now under the guise and under the excuse of either combating or fighting the drug on the war on drugs or just fighting common crime. It isn't a lie when people say that common crime is on the rise in Guatemala. It's true. The causes of that are deeply rooted in capitalism, deeply rooted in people's inability to just exist, and so they often have to turn to crime to survive. But what has happened is that they've used this excuse. They've used the excuse of a growing criminal presence to crack down on anyone who's doing any kind of human rights work, any indigenous rights work. So we now have essentially the same situation that we had back in 1986, except instead of it being massacres out in the open, they grab people, arrest them, disappear them still, oftentimes under the guise of this is a suspect and some kind of criminal investigation.
Are you confused by what you see? There's violence on the left and right. Still in the center, some look for peace. The dream is one of beauty. The lion sleeps with the lamb. But those who sleep between them better sleep lightly if they can.
Go, I said go.
There's no center in his mind.
No, I said no, amigo.
Only left and right. When a pueblo's hungry, there's no room for compromise. You fight for food and freedom, or join the other side. Those who choose the widow in this raging fight will find their side is chosen, but a needle serves the right.
Subjects that I focus on as a native journalist on Wolf Mountain Native Radio is what in English is called the environment. My worldwide listeners know I'm an ecologist or biologist by education, and I'm very much concerned about the rape of sacred Mother Earth, the desecration of Guatemala indigenous land, for example, from gold mining and other mineral development. Would you talk a little bit about some of the biological impacts multinational corporations and the government of Guatemala is doing in the name of rural development, agriculture development, mining, for example, and how that's affecting the water quality and therefore the people's lives.
One of the really interesting, and I'll give you this as an example, one of the really interesting things that has happened is that there's been this huge rise in tourism in Guatemala after the signing of the peace accords. And so a very sacred place in the north of the country called Tikal, which is an old ancient ruined city, is now a Mecca for tourists, and they've destroyed the very, very fragile rainforest there in order to build these huge 5-star, 4-star hotels all around the ruins. So not just the disrespect of our traditions and of our ancestors, but also the complete and utter disregard for the environment is something that has triggered, I think, a positive response, which is ecotourism, because there is a growing number of folks in what's called the first world that have a more acute understanding of the environment. There's also been a growing trend to create ecotourist businesses, which are very sensitive to the environment, but still are exploitative in the cultural sense. They don't really take Mayan culture into consideration when designing the programs and when actually executing the programs. On the other hand, you have large mining companies moving in. You have a lot of oil exploration right now in Guatemala and in northern Guatemala, which is where the bulk of the rainforest exists. And that's highly alarming because you can destroy a rainforest much easier than you can destroy almost any other environment because the ecosystem is so fragile, so interdependent. And so what we've seen in places like Alta Verapaz and Petén are the moving in of these mining companies and logging companies and especially oil exploration companies and destroying the environment, leaving in its wake just this utter destruction.
I'm very honored to be here at this Student Farm Worker Alliance forum the past few days. I've tried to really just listen a lot to younger people, and it gives me a lot of hope because, frankly, I've been through a lot of gatherings and conferences with people my age who have been involved for many years, really just use young people kind of as tokenism. Well, yeah, we have a panel with our youth, but it's relegated to a back room, and maybe if they're lucky at the end of the week, they'll give a 10-minute presentation. For me here, I've been able to just listen 3-4 days to young people like yourself, and I'm encouraged. What is it like for you, however, as a person of color, to work with predominantly, without being rude, white, upper middle class, young people, college activists, students? Do you find it still a struggle to, as a person of color activist, to work cross-culturally?
It's absolutely a challenge. This is an exceptional group because even though it is majority white, the white folks here do understand that racism is an all-invasive disease really in the society, and it does not by any means leave the activist community untouched. The harder part is not with this group. The harder part is with folks who want to help, right? And who really don't understand that you know, the saying by the Aboriginal sister that if their liberation is not intricately tied to my liberation, then you are just wasting your time. And so it is always a challenge to try to get folks to understand that, look, we are all in this system together, and if you are not struggling for your own liberation, because as an oppressor, you are also being oppressed. That oppressor mentality is something that is invasive to you, and it's not letting you be a full human being the way you should be. So you want to be free too. And if you don't understand that, if you are in your own way trying to help someone who's oppressed, you're just oppressing them. So it's a challenge, but it is also hopeful to see the growing numbers of young white activists who are starting to understand that and starting to fit that into a more complex understanding of capitalism which of course ultimately is the force that drives things like CAFTA and the destruction of the environment and that. So that to me, you know, it is always hopeful to see young folks. It's always hopeful to see especially older folks that we can learn from come together and be able to exchange ideas and understandings, because that's the only way really that we're going to move forward.
You mentioned earlier that you also do what I love to do, and that's radio. Can you just let our listeners know a little bit about your work with the Guatemala Radio Project?
Well, that's a few years ago, but what we did is we ran a community radio show, very much like yours, except ours was definitely not international. We were just local in Chicago. Part of what we were doing is we were training young Latinas in the inner city to have a voice. You know, we were not giving them a voice. They have a voice, but their voices are always shut up, and they're shut down in the mainstream media, and especially in the electronic media. Whenever you hear about Latinas, it's usually some really bad news, something that they've done to others, and not any proactive, positive action that they've taken to improve their own living conditions or to help others. So what we did is we created a forum through the Guatemala Radio Project for young Latinas to come and express themselves and talk about issues that were really affecting them, and also work that they were doing to improve the lives of themselves and others. We since then have created another radio project that's part of our worker center that has a similar mission. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give, again, a forum, but this time to workers, to low-wage and immigrant workers that have problems in the workplace, but we don't want to just have a radio show that's going to be, this is my problem and this is horrible and my workplace stinks, but rather that this was the problem that I had, this is the action that I took, and this is how I resolved my problem. And so in that way, we're not just providing people with the experience of what workers live through, but also giving them some specific tools so that they can themselves take action and solve problems in their workplaces and organize. But ultimately, you know, if you're organizing yourself in the workplace, you're going to have better living conditions, and you're going to have more time to do more activist work, and you're going to have more time to do whatever other work you're doing. So our mission ultimately is to create social mobilization through radio.
You are listening to Yat Kiritchi Native Centers, Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
My guest today on Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, is Mr. Jose Oliva, a youth activist who is a Workers' Rights Center Network Coordinator at the National Interfaith Committee for Worker Justice. We are speaking together at the 2005 Immokalee in Centro, a gathering of global justice youth leaders from across the country. Jose was born in Guatemala, but was forced to flee Guatemala when several of his family members were tortured and disappeared by that country's military regime for their social justice organizing. After graduating from college here in the U.S., Jose worked with and eventually became executive director of Casa Guatemala, a solidarity organization. He now continues his activism by working with the National Interfaith Committee for Worker Justice and the National Student Farm Worker Alliance, SFA, who is hosting this week-long gathering. Jose, I'm very appreciative to have been invited to this in Centro. It is wonderful for me to be here and listen and learn from so many fine young people such as yourself. Within indigenous people's cultures, youth are very respected, since we understand that young people will be our future leaders and caretakers of Mother Earth. Our Yaakishi Native Center is very concerned about youth issues and young people's views. We also are concerned about how many young people, especially indigenous youth, are getting pulled away from traditional culture from the strong influence of Western society. In many Native American communities, we are trying hard to encourage youth to learn our ceremonies, to speak Native language, to know and be proud of our history and heritage. Having visited a number of tribal peoples in different parts of the world over the past 30 years, I have seen an erosion of culture, and this greatly worries me. Much of the work of Yaakishi Native Center is encouraging Indian young people to respect and honor the knowledge, ethics, and wisdoms of our Native peoples, even as we live in the modern world, the 21st century. As an Indigenous youth, what are your thoughts on this concern?
There are certainly a number of obstacles on this issue. Young folks are bombarded by media images of what they should look like or what they should buy or what they should consume. And in a lot of cases, those media images are specifically targeted at that audience, at young people. And so it is a really difficult medium to combat. However, one of the things that we found success in is when you are talking to folks about where they come from, especially in a situation where they are not unique, where there are others like them, you will get some resonance. And it's important for folks, especially I think second generation, third generation folks who have been here, you know, their parents came here, their grandparents came here, and they're growing up in this society completely. It's really important for them to know and to understand where they come from and what their traditions are. I came here very young, and I lost my culture while I was here, but then I found it again, right? And I found it through Native North Americans who were graceful enough to allow me into their ceremonies and to teach me their ways, which are also my ways. And that to me was the pivotal turning point, and I don't think that I'm alone in that. I know several other Guatemalan youth who came during the same period that I did that also found their way through Native North American traditions.
I want to thank you and perhaps end by saying that as a relatively young person myself, I'm 52, and in our cultural ways, you don't really a spokesperson until you hear as white, an elder like my aunties, but try in a humble way to be to provide a voice for indigenous peoples to be heard. I'm really hopeful that the prophecies of the eagle and the condor are coming to fruition. I did attend the Quito, Ecuador gathering some years back when indigenous spiritual leaders from what's now called North America met with indigenous spiritual leaders from what's now called Central and South America, and I have great hopes that these colonial artificial divisions of language and of mentality is being broken down, and I think it's young people like yourself that will help continue that. I'm going to ask you to just share any last comment you might like to say to our worldwide audience as a way of thanking you for your time today.
Well, thank you, first of all, for inviting me on, and I really appreciate the time and the space to be honest and share with me my experiences. I think in order for all of us as indigenous peoples to be truly self-determinant and sovereign, we first have to come together, and we first have to understand and value our own traditions and share those with each other, with ourselves. And so we referred to the prophecy of the eagle and the condor, and I understand fully that we are all one people, and I know that a lot of other people do believe that also, but I also know that there are folks who don't, and I think it's important for us to, in our own communities, make sure that people understand the value of being together, the value of your people teaching our people that come here about your ways is transcendental, and I think, you know, the value of my people in Central and South America, teaching North Americans about our ways, I think is ultimately going to help the understanding of this new global market that we're living in, and unfortunately not thriving in as Native peoples. So I want to thank you again, personally, and I want to be honest with you that it does mean a lot to me to be on a show with an elder of mine, and that I could learn, I think, a lot from you and from the work that you're doing. So I hope.
Thank you.
music of Peruvian singer-songwriter Tito La Rosa. That was the title song of his Silver Wave record CD, The Eagle and the Condor. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. I want to again thank my program guest, Jose Oliva, for sharing his thoughts with us and for his work in social and economic justice. I urge all of our worldwide listeners to become active wherever you live in working for a better world. Please visit our Yat Kitishi Native Center website, www.yatkitishie.org, and click on our links page for a listing of fine organizations we recommend. We shall conclude today's Wolf Mountain Radio program with a song from Anishinaabe singer-songwriter Richard Sear, singing the title track of his cassette, 500 Years. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Aho, Kinoan Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Well, 500 years ago, when the first king to this country, they said they wanted to live in peace and harmony. But things didn't work that way, their greed wouldn't let us stay. Now we are hostages in the land of the free. So if you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? For I feel as it was my country done for me. If you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? That's what they're serving in the land of the free. They got money for their missiles, they got money for their pistols, money for everything that we don't need. They got money for their bombs, they got money for their clowns, and people, they are starving in the land of the free. So if you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? For I feel as if my country done for me. If you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? That's what they're serving in the land of the free. A nuclear waste station on a native reservation ain't what I call being fair. They grabbed all the land and they got blood on their hands here in the land of the free. So if you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? For I feel this is what my country done for me. If you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? That's what they're serving in the land of the free. No Indian population in their United Nations, in this land we held so dear. You can steal all the land as long as you're a white man, and I know that they frame Leonard Pelletier. So if you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? For I feel as it was my country done for me. If you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? That's what they're serving in the land of the free. Telling you you should share across the native's blood and hair ain't what I call being fair. They're attacking native land, the Canadian white man, and I suppose they'll blame Leonard Pelletier. So if you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? For I feel this love my country done for me. If you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? That's what they're serving in the land of the free. The same worn seaway they use a light and freeway, all of the ports go into Maine. Well, they should pay a toll for the giant hole that they dug across native land. So if you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? For I feel it's what my country done for me. If you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? That's what they're serving in the land of the free. They say Willie, he owes tax, Neil Stephens in the backs with what they call his SNL. How can some still play and others they must pay? Looks like another crack in the Liberty Bell. So if you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? For I feel as if my country done for me. If you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? That's what they're serving in the land of the free. Now for Russia they found billions, for Star Wars they spent trillions. The natives have to fight for every cent. But if you steal a dime, they'll make you pay for your crime, unless you're related to the president. So if you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? For I feel as well my country done for me. If you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? That's what they're serving in the land of the free. Now they speak of education in this American nation, say you should have it at any cost. When they crossed the ocean blue back in 1492, Columbus didn't discover he was lost. So if you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? For I feel it's what my country done for me. If you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? That's what they're serving in the land of the free. They send whiskey here in bulk to their Uncle Tom Hall to put us in a better frame of mind. After 500 years and the trail of tears, no longer for the treaties that they signed. So if you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? For I feel as if my country done for me. If you got some garbage, won't you send it to America? That's what they're serving in the land of the free.
Your war is over. We want our land back. Stony Point, Ontario, Canada.